grinding along on a Tuesday. Somebody's glad that Mac's back. Not sure if he was going to make it after yesterday's fumble.
Oh, that's exactly right. Bad day for him yesterday. Just casually dropping an A-H on the
air.
They
say, I don't understand why you can't say A-H, but you can say on the come. Well, that's a normal saying.
It's a normal saying. Come on. Yeah, man.
Yeah, dude. Come on, man.
Weird.
Get your head out of the gutter.
Seriously.
Yeah. I did see a funny meme here on the X. It says, bro, you're a Chiefs fan. You guys never had to suffer before Mahomes. And then it shows a picture.
What?
And then it shows a picture of pre-Mahomes Chiefs getting beat by the Denver Broncos 24-6. And the caption on here says, Kansas City miscues, 7 drop passes, 4 3 and outs, failed fake punt, interception, and a partridge in a pear tree.
Wait. It says we've never had suffering in Kansas.
It's a quote because people say that about Chiefs fans.
What?
Right before we get into our three fun questions. Yeah. People are like, oh yeah, Chiefs fans, oh, they've never had it rough. Let me introduce you to 2012.
Wait, who's saying that?
People say this.
What people?
Not people that you're around, apparently, but there are people
on
the internet that people are like, oh, Chiefs fans act like they haven't been good, and they bring up the 90s and Trent Green.
Most people
that
are posting on the internet aren't playing with a full deck.
Yeah.
Let me go to comments section of Yelp and review this bad ice that I got.
Yeah, people are, people do that too.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's people out there that think the Chiefs have never had tough times.
Well, then those people don't have a clue. I mean, like, I don't have sympathy for those people.
It's a real thing.
But if you're not, like, studying the past and learning about all this stuff before you make these statements and then I call you an idiot, that's on you. That's not on me.
Have you tried the chicken Big Mac yet?
No, I have not.
Okay.
Have you?
No, but I really want to.
Get it.
I'm afraid.
What are you afraid about? I understand that. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't want to like.
That's fair. No, that's fair. I'm done.
I don't want my last meal to be a chicken Big Mac.
No, I understand. Yeah. I get it. I'm not going there for that. Dude, I don't blame you.
I drove by the other day. It's like that line is massive for the news that's out right now.
Right.
Well, they've cleaned everything out.
Okay. Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Great. I'm glad they did.
Sure,
doesn't mean I'm going there anytime soon. You know.
Three fun questions. Does this team need to lose to get out of the way?
Well, I was having a conversation with some of the fellow fathers the
Chiefs
other day.
We're talking about.
Right? Yeah, the Chiefs. And they're like, well, you know, like, obviously.
People do this with Kansas Jayhawk basketball.
God, every February.
You know.
Every February.
I don't know. Bills won 18 straight, man. I feel like a loss.
Got to get
a
loss out of our system. Got to take care of business. Got to lose a game. Got to drop one to TCU. Why? What is losing?
That's a really
do?
Good impersonation of
awesome,
whoever
dude.
That is.
Yeah.
I would keep that in the bag.
I mean, but that's what it is. Every February, it gets to be that time of year where Kansas fan loses their mind, and we need to get a loss out of our system.
With his throwback quarter zip on.
Yeah, right. Exactly. With their sticker and their Kansas basketball jersey over their button-down shirt that they wore to work.
Wearing his son's fraternity. His son who's in a fraternity at Delta Chi wearing his hat with the rope on the bill.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Look at that hat, Frank. I stole from a kid.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You guys want an old-fashioned? You ever had an old-fashioned?
I do love an old-fashioned, though.
Yeah.
So where are we going with this? Oh, so yeah, so we're having this conversation.
You need to lose to get the loss out of the way for the Chiefs.
Yeah, a couple people go, yeah, I feel better if they got that
dude.
Loss. No, you've got that. I hate that attitude, right? Like, getting the loss out of your system. You don't have to have a loss.
How'd it work for Carolina? Remember when
they
went 15-1?
The Panthers.
Lost in the Super Bowl. Got blown out.
Yeah. You don't need to get a loss out of your system. You need to just go out there and take care of business and win football games. And winning begats winning. You get that taste of winning and you do better and better and better. And it carries you forward. So I've never been a fan of they need to get a loss out of their system or anything like that. Royals got a lot of losses out of their system before the playoffs. Didn't work out so well for them, right? So the whole getting the loss out of the system is such a fan crutch. They feel better. Because something's never been done before. Most people believe it's never going to happen and it can't be done again.
Yeah.
History is a great indicator of what has happened, not what will happen. And just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it can't. You keep this train moving, man. There's no reason to get any losses out of anybody's system.
Yeah. To go back, it says, do not. It's literally just a big chicken nugget. That's all it is.
Okay.
And it says, who did you call an idiot from the 816? Myself, Dusty Likens. Definitely an idiot. Mac, you think they need to lose or F it, just win the whole thing?
I've had this take before in sports, but no, not this team. This team's fine. I don't care.
And that's the other thing. You say this team. This is a veteran team. Like, there's no distraction.
Business. Mahomes and Andy Reid need to lose. Stop it.
Think about who you're talking about. Like, if this was Matt Corrales and Dave Eberflus, then you'd be looking at, okay, maybe those two losers need to lose a game or something like that. But man, Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, come on now, man. Like those guys are dialed in as dialed in as it gets, and the GM just keeps making moves and bringing in players and doing the, like, now.
Business, business.
That's right. That's what this team's about, business.
Business, business.
Remember that little dude? I don't know if he's still around. Next question.
Was that Hasbulla?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's kicking.
All right. Mike Tyson grabbed him like he was a baby. That man's 30 years old. Who gets more yards the rest of the season? Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce?
Hang on a second. Mike Tyson. Did you guys see the promos for the Tyson-Paul fight that's coming up in
November?
Yeah, it's
super rigged. I'll watch it, but I already know the outcome.
Is this an AI fight? Or is this a real fight?
I haven't seen the promos.
The promos
recently
look all AI. It looks all computer generated. Like, so are we getting a computer generated Tyson versus Jake Paul? I'm just throwing that out there. Like, we're all going to sit down for this fight, whenever it is, maybe, maybe not.
Yeah.
And then you're going to get on there and it's going to be an AI fight between these two, or is it going to be real?
Not just business.
Business, business.
Is it going to be real, or is it going to be AI?
It's already predetermined.
You think?
WWE. Yes, it's already predetermined.
Oh.
Mike Tyson's going to knock the hell out of Jake Paul. He's going to get up, and then Jake Paul's going to win.
Oh, damn.
There's going to be that little like, oh, it's a WWE event. I've seen this 1,000 times. I watch these all the time.
So why would you rather have Jake Paul win it than Mike Tyson?
Because he's the heel. Mike's the face. You don't need to make Tyson. That's a wrestling analogy. Obviously. Like, you don't need to, like,
it's also Tyson a jersey analogy, yeah, but I mean, yeah, made man.
You don't need to present Mike. Like, Mike's already a favorite. Like, Mike Tyson can't get any more popular than he already has or will be. Right? Like, he's already known as, like, now he's this pot smoking, free loving, fun guy.
Like, talk about a guy who's done a 180.
What makes people more entertained is having Jake Paul continue to win, because then you'll watch the next one to see if this is the guy that beats him. Is this the guy
that
beats
him? Yeah,
that's fair. He cannot lose, and he will not lose if he wants to keep his ratings.
So that's like that's the NFL script.
Keep him out of the NFL. Yeah. Once the Paul brothers get in the NFL, I'm out.
Yeah.
Which they kind of are with Mahomes. But anyways, they got the prime in the game. Next question. Who gets more yards? Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, or DeAndre Hopkins for the rest of the season?
I'm going to go with DeAndre Hopkins. I think this week is the beginning of a blow up for DeAndre Hopkins. Not because that's, you know, what I'm hearing or anything like that, which I'll tell you, I think he's going to have a big week this week. But he was posting some stuff on social media the other day that I saw that
yesterday,
I'm like, okay.
He's like, but I'm washed.
But I'm washed.
Yes.
And that was the one for me that I'm like, okay.
And
game
he doesn't tweet
on
a whole lot.
No, he's very, very quiet, but
I
people have been
it
saying he was washed. I saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
Knowing what I know, I'm like, this guy's going to go off big, man. So if you got DeAndre Hopkins on your bench right now in fantasy football, I'd start him this weekend. I think he's going to be really, really good, and they're going to make it a point to get DeAndre Hopkins involved this week against the team that they're playing, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
So right now, DeAndre Hopkins has 29 yards because he had the only game here. Travis Kelce 335 and Xavier Worthy 235.
So you're talking
the rest
from
of the year
from now on, not counting
that's
those
just showing,
yards.
Yeah. So this is just where they are now.
Yeah.
So Xavier Worthy, like 90 yards behind Travis Kelce.
Okay. Yeah. No, I think we're all starting from zero. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say DeAndre Hopkins has more yards than both of those guys.
Yeah, I'm going to go Travis.
You go Travis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. I think I'll agree with you, Bob. DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
And I hot take, Travis is third in this list.
Fun take?
I don't think that's a hot take at all.
No.
I mean, no. I think because Worthy has the ability to beat you on a 60-yard
exactly
play, you know, one time. Travis, you know, gets you 12, 16, you know, takes him three or four plays to get what Worthy can get in one, you know?
So, and just like Amari Cooper has opened up Keon Coleman, DeAndre Hopkins, like we talked about, man, he is going to open up the deep ball with Xavier Worthy.
Or he opens up Travis. I mean, somebody's getting open.
Yes.
You know, somebody's going to be open.
And we are also, here's fun take, we are also entering week 9.
Mm-hmm.
Rashee Rice is still second on the team in receiving yards.
That's insane.
Yeah.
If you would have said he's still number one, that would have been even more insane. Right?
And final question, should the Chiefs trade for Davante Adams?
Hell yeah. Absolutely. Why not at this point in time? Yes.
For sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
There we go. That is Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, and I am Dusty Likens. Coming up on the other side, Danon Hughes. He'll join us in about 10 minutes here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
Has your daughter come collecting yet?
No, she has not.
She doesn't know about it yet?
Yeah. I don't think she probably remembers.
Is that on you or on her? Like, should you have to remind the person who won the bet? Good question, by the way.
It is
a good question.
Yeah.
Like, if somebody wins a bet, they ought to be like, hey, man, remember that bet?
Yeah.
Like, the lady should be coming up to you and be like,
Katie.
Oh, it's Katie. Okay.
Yeah.
Because the lady probably would have already cashed in.
Easy. Yeah.
Like,
easy.
Dad, on the way to work, can you stop at Canes?
Stop at
Canes. Why would I do that?
Yeah.
pay up, Dad.
That's right. I told my daughter that DeAndre Hopkins would score a touchdown this past week, and yeah. she said, no, I'm not going to pick him up on my fantasy team.
She's not
said,
up yet, so she's not here.
Oh, God, yeah. They're already on their way to school.
Yeah, probably at
yeah.
school. Or
yeah, they're getting, yeah. getting ready to walk out the door.
With you, yeah.
So, no, I owe her Canes. Yeah, nice. I know. We got to cash in on that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's a good question, though. Do you have to pay the bet if they don't remember? Right. Like, if they're not going to remind you, you just sit on it, right? You just wait for them. And then once a week goes by, it's like, yeah, you got to collect before a week.
Yeah. Nah, is it a week? Is it a statute of limitations? I mean, if you make a bet,
gotta
man,
be.
Like,
how long does it take for you to have to get a wedding gift?
If a year. Year.
Yeah, you have a year to get a wedding gift.
Right. Yeah. So a year
to pay a bet?
A year to pay a bet? I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Whatever.
Honestly, but yeah, you shouldn't be taking that long. Pay your bets.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's go. Get it done.
It's just a matter of timing now. So yeah.
Right. So if you missed that, Bob bet his daughter that DeAndre Hopkins would score.
Right.
He did not score. He better Lorenzo Canes. That's
yeah, that would
raising
be really good.
Hey. Raising Canes. Yeah. Raising Canes. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You double up this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what you
yeah.
should do.
Yeah. But there's no football on this weekend because we can play on Monday.
Mm. That's true.
It's a good day to have Red Zone the entire day.
It is. A good day to just hang out. So, yeah, Katie, I owe you some Canes, so we'll find a day. We'll go get some Canes. We should have done that yesterday, actually.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, because today's Taco Tuesday.
That is, yeah. Made some tacos on the Black Stone the other day. It was great, man.
The shrimp in the Verde?
Did shrimp, just green enchilada sauce out of can of right there. Turned out well.
I love a shrimp taco. This is now trending to be the greatest Chiefs team of all time.
Mm-hmm. Nobody is going to argue that, I don't think, right?
I think it's a lot of people are starting to think, like, maybe this is it. And then people are like, nah, the best team I've ever seen was 1997. We're 14-2, and damn it, we lost to Denver in the playoffs.
Didn't close out the deal. I mean, like, in my opinion, when you start ranking the greatest teams in organizational history, they have to be teams that won a championship.
Right.
Unless you're like, you know, a team that's never won a championship, like the Houston Texans or whoever,
right.
You can rank it that way. But like, if you've won Super Bowls, which the Chiefs have four, you start there with the greatest teams because the teams that are the greatest finish the deed.
Which makes our minds turn to think if you could, you know, bring back any player from the Chiefs past that you think would guarantee them a 20-0 or a 20-0 record. And a three-peat.
Yeah.
Who's that player?
For me, it was pretty simple. Willie Rofe.
Lock up the left side.
And obviously, this came to my mind watching Wanya Morris.
I remember how his face looked in that helmet. I felt so bad for Willie Rofe.
It's always squished in there, yeah.
I think he has to have a ton of Excedrin in his locker.
Willie Rofe is the only gentleman who could not walk but would destroy you in a football game. And then limp back to the huddle and like walk on eggshells. Like, I've never seen anything like it.
Six pancakes a game.
He was unbelievable. Greatest left tackle I've ever seen play. And so, obviously, with the Wanya Morris situation, are we calling it a situation, right? He stunk out loud
game.
The other day, right? I'm like, we need Willie Rofe. God, if we had Willie Rofe on this team, how much better would this organization be? So I'm going Willie Rofe.
Yeah, I love it. I'll go Eric Berry.
Why?
Because he's from Tennessee.
Okay. That's a fair point.
Oh, yeah, and that he wasn't the best safety in the NFL at one point. Adding him with Justin Reed and Trent McDuffie in the secondary, you don't need another corner at that point. By the way, Eric Berry played every position on defense.
He was free safety.
Yeah, he played strong safety. He was in the box. Played outside.
I never saw him at defensive tackle.
I feel attacked.
I never saw him at rush end.
No DT. You're right. No DT.
Did he play middle linebacker?
I didn't see him at middle linebacker.
Outside linebacker, little middle linebacker. I mean,
Eric Berry, of all players in the Chiefs franchise history that you could add to guarantee 20-0, you go Eric Berry. You know, he
you
quit
like
on
I
the team.
Albert Wilson or something. Well, I mean, Eric Berry.
Like, I used it based on, like, what need do they still have? I don't think they have a need.
No, say, well, you took Willie Rofe. Mitchell Schwartz would be a good one. Move Juwan Taylor back to left tackle. That's a decent one.
You could do that. I don't hate
John
that at all.
Tate.
Yeah. John Tate's another good one. Yeah. I mean, he was a really good football player. Yeah.
I just like doing random names.
Dexter McCluster.
Dan Saliamua.
Man, I don't think he makes you better.
Eric Warfield.
Definitely does not make you
William
better.
William Barty.
Definitely does not make you better.
Pat Surtain Sr. Him and Ty Law, I turned over on my sleep that night. I was like, we got lockdown corners now. Ah, crap, they're 33.
Yeah.
Mine, you think Eric Berry is tough. I'm going to say Dante Hall.
Explain to me why.
New kickoff rule.
Okay.
Human joystick.
Yeah.
Can change a game in 2 seconds.
I don't hate that.
And they haven't really had that guy since Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
And when you have that little secret gadget weapon, also could play the slot, would be a elevated version of Mecole Hardman, who's been good since he's been back. I think would give you more reps. And I look at you, like your conversation with Mac, like I don't feel like the defense needs a whole lot of help. Obviously, right. They went and got an edge rusher yesterday slash linebacker, but man, I really wish they'd have got a corner.
Yeah.
And I don't think their secondary needs help.
I really wish I was a millionaire.
Yeah. I think the offensive unit is good enough to go at least to the Super Bowl and win a three-peat. And I think if you were to add Dante Hall to give that special teams factor where, like, your offense is struggling and you need to lean on something else that's not the defense. Oh, is that a punt return that goes 65 yards to the house and the game's over?
Yeah.
Dante Hall.
Yeah, no, I kind of like that one because that is something that kind of has been missing, you know, this year. I think across the NFL, we haven't seen a lot of returns this year, have we?
Yeah.
Have we?
There was one last night.
That was a punt return.
Yeah. But I mean, that game, once that punt return happened last night, game was over.
Game was over. No it's question. Over. That's what I was like, all right, I'm out on this one. But yeah.
And my fantasy team lost because of that, because they had the Steelers defense.
Yeah.
Jared Allen.
Wait, why did you lose if you had the Steelers defense?
He had the Steelers defense. Okay. Jared Allen on this team make this team undefeated in 2020?
No.
My buddy Matt just texted me, don't forget about Jared Allen.
No, I don't think so. I think they're good on defense.
Yeah, I guess if you could add from the text line 913-586-7965, you could add any Chiefs player from the past, put him on this team to guarantee 20-0 and a three-peat. Who is that player? I mean, maybe Dayton Hughes.
Could be.
You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the field vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dayton Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
Tuesday at 7:25, that's where you'll find Dayton Hughes on our station on 96.5 The Fan. You'll hear him also on Players Only. I believe he's with Jay Binkley at Buffalo Wild Wings, which I'm going to go say hi to those dudes tonight because they're in my neck of the woods in Lee Summit. He is brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.
Or boo.
How you doing, boo? Dana, I'll never call you that again, I promise. I'll never do that again.
Thank you. What's going on, fellas? Good morning.
How much, man?
Victory Tuesday.
It is Taco Tuesday. It is Victory Tuesday. And it is, if you could add any Chief from the past to this roster to guarantee 20-0 and a three-peat, who are you adding?
Please say yourself. Please say yourself.
I'd love to say myself, but I don't know if that would – that probably equate to 19-1. I would say – gosh, I'm just thinking of the positions where we could use an upgrade or at least have the presence of greatness there. Tackle, so Willie Rofe would come to mind.
Why did you do that?
Thank you.
Why you have no idea what you just done, Dayton.
I think I would probably lean towards that. And heck, I'd even bring in Will Shields and have him play tackle. Not that he need to play guard, but he had actually played tackle and center. Not many people realize that he played all three positions while he was with the Chiefs. So I would say he would be somewhat of a at least dependable at the tackle position. Let's see, who else? Gosh, Derek Johnson, I feel like would be a help at linebacker. Not that that's disparaging upon our linebacking corps, because I actually think they're really playing really good football. But somebody that would be, I feel like Derek Johnson, his attribute would be opportunistic in the passing game. And so interceptions by linebackers, that type of affecting the game at the defensive position. I think that's really it.
Okay.
Besides myself.
Besides yourself. Absolutely. Yeah. We were having the conversation on Friday at the eighth grade dance pictures with some of the other fathers, and some of them were like, yeah, I'd like them to get a loss out of their system. I'm like, I don't subscribe to that philosophy. Where are you on the getting the loss out of your system conversation?
Yeah, I don't believe that is the reason why you would hope for a loss or think that a loss would be helpful. I assume those same people would say, well, we lost against the Raiders on Christmas Day and then we won 6 straight and a Super Bowl. I get that argument as well. So in retrospect, I guess that worked last year, but I don't think that is the case. I just wonder if you go into the playoffs undefeated, like, is that something extra? Like, is that something extra that you're thinking about, of not only just getting to the promised land and representing the AFC in New Orleans and winning another Super Bowl and making history, but do you feel like that's extra pressure that now that you're undefeated, it's not just about the Super Bowl win, or does that add pressure about the Super Bowl win? So I, to answer your question, I don't subscribe that a loss is needed. Sometimes it can be a healthy reset, like we saw last year, and a reality check, but I don't think it's needed.
Yeah, I think it was needed last year, but I think it was needed in the way that they did lose, like you said, like a needed reality check. So I'm with you on that side, Danon, as we are talking to Danon Hughes here on Fesco and Dusty. Danon, you move from Vegas to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay, our producer Mac was saying, bad defense. What do you want to see from this offense moving forward? Because it looked like there was a little bit of a glimpse in that first half that, you know, that they were starting to get more in sync, fine and tune, everything like that. What do you want to see moving forward with this offense as the second half of the season begins?
Well, I think there's going to be some opportunity. There's always opportunity to grow, even the defense. Number two in the NFL, but still opportunities to grow. They allowed some yardage and points early in the game, and fortunately they were able to reset that. Offensively, I feel like with DeAndre Hopkins, like, there were times where I watched the game and I'm calling a game from the booth with Mitch, and I'm like, wow, if DeAndre was here for training camp, preseason, he would have gotten that pass right there. And he was open right there. And that would have been a play that Patrick would have been comfortable throwing to him. That's not the case yet. So there's definitely some upside that still can be had with DeAndre Hopkins and his presence on the field. If you remember, there was an incomplete pass where Patrick threw from the left hash coming out of the end zone to all the way to the right sideline where the Chiefs were, to Xavier Worthy, where it was knocked down and forced a punt. DeAndre Hopkins was on the backside running a slant or a deep in, and he was wide open. And I feel like that's just going to be part of the process in regards to having a new receiver, having a guy that's dependable. Now, yeah, he had multiple targets in the game. He made plays. But I feel like that's where the growth is going to happen, is having that guy that, you know, even though the play may be designed based on the defense, hey, I'm supposed to throw this deep out on this side of the field. I got to get Xavier Worthy involved. Whatever the reasons are, there's always going to be that – there will eventually be that time where Patrick says, you know what, but I got D-Hop on the other side, and I know he's got man-to-man, and he's going to get open. So I feel like that's where the growth is going to happen on this offense, and I'm looking forward to that, because obviously there are no other teams that can say they're undefeated, but there are also not very many teams that can say confidently that they haven't played their best football, and they're still – in this position as a top team in their division and in the conference. So to me, that's encouraging. I like the fact that we have not arrived yet, and we're just in week 8 going into week 9.
Danon Hughes with us here on 96.5 The Fan. And yesterday they go out and add Josh Uche, easy enough for me to say, from the New England Patriots. With that move, can the defense now be the catalyst to continue to carry this team forward?
I think so. I mean, this... let's face it, that's what we may be looking at this year. We may be looking at the defense being more prominent than it was last year, if anybody would have thought that that would be even possible, and that it would be a team that would be carried by the defense, even though we have a healthy Patrick Mahomes and a healthy Travis Kelce. Like, that might be where we are landing right now with this team. The reality of where we sit is that the defense might be the reason why we get a three-peat. It might be the reason why we get the number one seed. And we should be okay with that, even with the star power that we have on offense. So I like that. The concern for me, if there's a concern, is the health of Amenihu, the health of Mike Dana. If you go out and get Uche, why? Just wonder about that. And if it's going to be extended, not necessarily season ending, I'm okay with that. Like, if Charles Amenihu is not going to be back here until week 12 and he's got fresh legs and he doesn't have to be thrust right into the lineup because we got depth there now, I'm okay with that. because that's what he came through in the clutch for us last year late in the season. The other concern is the desperation of other teams. Like we're coming upon a part of our schedule where desperation, when you go against the Buccaneers and they've lost the last two games, there's desperation there. So how does that desperation show itself on Monday Night Football on that stage? And then the subsequent teams after that that we're playing, as you get closer to the end of the season, you start to see teams is going to be kind of in the middle, the thick in the middle, and that desperation, how does it present itself as a foe against us on a Sunday or Monday night? So those are the things that concern me right now, but like there are bigger concerns around the NFL for many other fan bases.
When does a team, Damon, go from a desperate team to a team that has given up and has already booked Cancun?
New York Jets right now.
I'd say once you get to 7 losses and you look at your schedule and you realize that you're playing playoff teams for the most part in the remaining part of your schedule, that's when I think people start to check out. And most players don't because they realize that at any given time, it could be their last play of their career, especially if you're on a losing team, because obviously a losing team is not going to go ahead and field the same 47 guys the next season. So you have to be aware about that. No matter how good you think you are, if you're on a losing team, you have to realize that there are going to be changes. There's always changes regardless. So the mature guys recognize that, but then there are some out there that's like, you know, this season's a wrap. Heck, there's some coaches, there's some staff, the organizations, because then they start playing for draft picks and positioning and so on. So fortunately, we haven't been in that position for a long time, but it's human nature to think that, okay, if we're 2-8 in week 11, like, what do we have to really play for besides a little bit of pride and dignity, but there's no postseason?
Dana Wolf, we started off with a fun question. Let's end with two fun questions. This team is 16-0 going into the final game of the season against the Broncos. Do you start your starters and go for undefeated, or do you let them just rest?
Let them rest.
Fair enough.
I know that's not the popular point, but could you imagine?
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine the story, not just here in Kansas City, but nationally, probably globally, if you start your starters and somebody gets hurt and you get thrust out of the playoffs in the divisional round, or you have a lingering injury that hampers you in the AFC Championship. I just couldn't imagine that being the case. And, heck, we have last year as to show that even though we had secured postseason berth, we had secured basically our positioning, they sat Travis Kelce. They sat Patrick Mahomes, even in that circumstance. So I don't see that Andy Reid would change courses just because we're undefeated. It would be a great story. I would love to not only imagine the magic around Kansas City, imagine that parade, imagine all the festivities around this team and the celebration of this team. If not only do they go and win a three-peat, but they do it as an undefeated team. Like, it would be amazing around the Chiefs' kingdom. So I would love that, but I think the smart route is to sit your starters.
And then your last one is, who has more yards the rest of the season, starting from here on out, Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, or DeAndre Hopkins?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say Xavier Worthy, because I feel like he may get 3 catches for 70 yards a game, while those other guys might have 6 or 7 catches, but not as many yards. So if you're speaking of yardage, I'm going to go out on a limb and say Xavier Worthy, because most of the plays that he gets are going to stretch the field. Then I would say Travis Kelce would be a close second, and then DeAndre Hopkins third.
Pretty wild that Rashee Rice still second on the team in wide receiver yards.
Dana,
appreciate you. You got a pretty busy week this week, and then we'll listen to you on Thursday and listen to you on Friday, I believe, too, right? Or no?
Yeah, Thursday night we'll do players only. I'll be in the booth and handling that. And then Friday I'll be at Buffalo Wild Wings with Bink, and I'm not sure if it's Mitch Schwartz or or barbershop. Hopefully it's Mitch Schwartz, because you know I could only get so much of defensive guys.
And no doubt about it, man. All right, well, I'll see you Friday, and I'll listen to you Thursday, man. Take care.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dana Hughes there, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. So he just basically agrees with a lot of you said.
Yeah.
Said Xavier Worthy because of the yardage, and said Willie Rowe.
Well, I think I said DeAndre Hopkins, but I did say Xavier Worthy will get like 60 yards on three catches. I mean, just up over the top and stuff like that. It's going to be easier for Xavier Worthy with less catches to get the yards than, you know, the tight end, if you will.
Text line is full of Willie Rowe, Derek Thomas.
I don't think Derek Thomas helps this team. I don't think they need Derek Thomas. They need Willie Rofe on this team. I don't think they need Derek Thomas.
And the text line has been awoken.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah. Oh, my God. How could you not say Derek Thomas should be on every grid? Yeah. Well, because they got a good defense. If you were to tell me I could choose Willie Rofe or Derek Thomas in their prime on this team, I'm taking Willie Rofe 10 times out of 10.
No question. But Derek still helps the team.
Yeah.
To say that he doesn't help, that's not true. But I get what you're saying,
Willie Rofe takes this team to a different level.
Yeah, I think the way that you're looking at it is Willie Rofe helps the team more than Derek Thomas would help the team.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not saying that he wouldn't help. I mean, dude, 58's out there and Chris Jones on that defensive line. You thought and Neal were good.
Right.
You thought Neal and DT were great. Oh,
but if you're asking me which one helps this team more in an area of need, it's Willie Rofe.
That's right. No doubt about it. Imagine the team was 16-0 and they rest their starters and Carson Wentz beat the Broncos.
Oh, 17-0. That'd be great, right?
Boy, wouldn't that be something?
What do you do if they lose, though? I mean, like, you got to live with that, you know, the rest of your life. Like, we had this opportunity. Did we do that? But if you win the Super Bowl, nobody cares.
A quiet sleeper on the
text somebody line. On the Twitterverse would complain. Mm-hmm. You know?
Someone that's coming up a sneaky pick on the text line for what person you would add to this team to guarantee a undefeated season and three-peat, Tony Gonzalez. Him and Travis Kelce.
I mean, I wouldn't say no. I wouldn't say no. You could always use another great weapon.
In their prime, who gets more action, Tony Gonzalez or Travis Kelce?
Like receiving?
No, I mean like receiving women. Oh. Like numbers, action. Yes, Matt, get out of sports for a second. Because Tony was nailing it. Tony. Like 98, 99, rookie at 97. Travis, though, man, that guy's gone through different eras. Either way. Coming up on the other side, Bob found a story of a guy doing something really stupid while being inebriated. We asked the question to you, 913-586-7965. What's the dumbest thing you've ever done while drunk? You're listening to 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome back to Fesco and Dusty, 913-586-7965. We asked the question on the other side, what's the dumbest thing you've done while inebriated? Capture this article said, I sold my house by accident when I was drunk. Now I live in a narrow boat. Can't imagine you can top that.
I mean, that's pretty untoppable.
Mm-hmm.
You got so drunk you sold your house?
That's what it says. The next day, after just an hour cruise, enough to charge the batteries and heat up the hot water, I moored in Bartleton Sore. Whatever it says, the summer holidays were over and there were no customers for the fleet of wacky vessels opposite the navigation inn. Pedal-powered swans and dragons, fast food, fastened with Union Flag hunt. I don't know what's going on with this article, but basically said he loved what he did and then decided to get hammered and sell his house, and now he lives in a narrow boat.
Now he lives on a boat, on a canal, which is like the dumbest thing you could ever do. So I think everybody in their life has had a moment where they've done something stupid when they were drunk. Like, I don't know, bring your own sour cream to a restaurant or something like that. Like
she was sober.
I mean, you got to be pretty drunk to bring your own sour cream to a restaurant. But I think for me, it was probably the time I saw UMKC play Missouri at the Hearn Center back in the day. And then I got home and I thought I needed to break into my own house and did so by punching out a window, cutting my hand all up. Ooh. Meanwhile, I had the key in my pocket. So breaking into my own house was probably the dumbest thing I ever did.
Mom's like, I got to get in here.
I got to get in. Like, I had to get up and do a show in the morning. Like, I got to go. So I busted out a window got in. $7 to replace the glass. I'll never forget it. At Houston's Hardware in Waldo.
What about your hand?
I'm still feeling the pain of that. And that was like in 2005.
Jeez.
Somebody from the 913 says, I ate my sister's birthday cake the day before her birthday. In my defense, it was a cheesecake, and it didn't say anything on it.
Well, there, I'm with you. I would have eaten the same thing. You had a couple of pops. You see that cheesecake sitting there. You're like, I got to have that. Yeah.
Somebody says, the dumbest thing I've ever done when I was drunk was I missed the Royals wild card game because I was too drunk. Never drank that much again, and I still haven't watched that game.
wait, you missed it because you passed out?
Probably, yeah.
You missed it because, that does suck. Yeah.
The dumbest thing I've ever done.
Probably had a good time while it was going on.
Mine's kind of gross, but I also deserve it. The dumbest thing I've ever done while intoxicated, I was in college. I was at home for a winter break. I was like 22. And I had gotten picked up from the bar, hammered, absolutely hammered. Shout out to Clancy's in Blue Springs, if anybody remembers that place. And
isn't there like a Clancy's in every town? I feel like
I don't
that's
know. This
like,
one no longer is open. I miss it. It was one of the best places in the world to go with all your friends. It was basically a high school reunion every time. And got home safe and sound, got picked up by a sober friend, get home, and I'm at my parents' house, right? I'm out of college. We've all been here. I open up the fridge and it's like the glory spot. Like there's cold cuts if I want it. There's leftover taco stuff if I want it. There's pizzas in the fridge. And in front of me is this giant bottle of lemon lime Gatorade, like the big bottles.
No, that's good.
Right? And I'm like, hell yeah, dude. I'm parched. I'm drunk. I'm about to crush this. And I drank like a quarter of it.
What was it?
I literally woke up 4 hours later and crapped my brains out. And when I got up the next...
Oh, no, was somebody's colon blow?
Yep. Dude. Oh, my Nana's God. In town. She got a colonoscopy the next day. I didn't know it.
Oh, no.
I wake up the next morning, ready to make breakfast. I'm like, they're like, how'd you sleep? I'm like, good, your stomach's just messed up. And she opens the fridge and she goes, oh, well, somebody got into my Gatorade. And I was like, your Gatorade? I was like, what do you mean by that? She's like, oh, well, there's like a little Miralax or whatever it was in there. Like the going.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, and my parents are just absolutely in tears.
That's hysterical.
Like, that's what you get.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't know. Also, why put a label on it?
But it shouldn't be in a Gatorade bottle. I mean, this had to be a long time ago. I guess you were 22, you're 30.
Yeah,
so
it's
a long time.
15 years ago.
But even still, I mean, like that should be in some sort of like, I mean, it comes in a, you know, a thing. You
and
make
after
it,
that day, it said Nana's don't drink if there was something in there.
Yeah.
But no, it was in a Gatorade bottle. It was literally in a lemon lime Gatorade bottle. And I mean, man, got home at like 1 a.m. Well, I wasn't, it was like, 12:45. Didn't eat anything other than that cold cut sandwich with like Cheetos on it.
Well, you didn't have that in your system long.
And I mean, dude, I woke up at like 4 a.m. to the sound of like gremlins barking.
Ugh.
It was just like,
When you do the colonoscopy stuff, man, you're up every couple of minutes going and whatnot. So,
I mean, it was rough.
Word to the wise, schedule your colonoscopy for the first thing in the morning. Because you don't want to. Well, no, you're empty either way. But
that's true.
You get up in the morning and you just go and you're done and it's over. Like you schedule a 2 p.m. colonoscopy.
Oh, yeah,
you're drinking that stuff throughout the day and it's a mess. So you want to take care of yourself and get the earliest possible colonoscopy appointment. And I'm going to tell you, even if you're 35 and you got to get your colonoscopies, I will die on this hill of making sure people get their colonoscopies. I've known too many people to get colon cancer to die that shouldn't have died. Get your colonoscopy, make sure it's clean, get it all taken care of. Go every 5 years. It's what I do. I'm not going to sit here and preach to you if I don't do something. Get your damn colonoscopy, and it's not a big deal. It's a great 20-minute sleep. I promise you will never sleep better in your life, and you will make sure that everything's okay, and it will save your life.
Somebody said, phone died, so couldn't get an Uber. Walked from Westport to my wife, at the time, girlfriend's place in Riverside at 3 a.m. She pulled up next to me in my car. As I was almost to Riverside and so drunk, I took off sprinting, thinking someone was trying to hit me.
At least you were somewhere where you knew. I had that happen in L.A. after the Guns N' Roses concert at Dodger Stadium.
Yeah.
Like, trying to get an Uber after a big event is not easy, especially in Los Angeles. Boy, we could not figure it out, so we just started walking.
Got drunk and called my ex. 2 months later, she moved in. 2 months after that, she moved out and stole my Chiefs blanket.
Mac, you doing anything dumb?
I've done some stupid stuff. Yeah, I don't know what's appropriate for her. But yeah, one time,
obviously.
Couldn't quite make it home from a night in college. Walked home, didn't do the Uber thing. Just phone was dead. My friends were gone. They probably didn't leave me. I probably left them because I don't really remember. And Yeah, my friend woke up to like the sound of police knocking on my door, being like, "Hey, we found this person here." Yeah, yeah. And then my shirt was off. Yeah, it was bad.
I worked with
luckily
somebody.
They were nice.
I worked with somebody here years ago, and I'm not going to say who it was because you wouldn't know the person. I don't think anyway. But we had a charity golf tournament. He showed up, got so drunk. And we put him in an Uber we thought to go home.
Mm.
The problem is he'd moved the day prior, and his address in the Uber was his old address. He was so drunk.
Oh, crap.
They left him in front of this old house. Then the paramedics showed up, took him to the hospital, and his mother, like, located him at, like, I don't know, St. John's Hospital over there on 435 in State Line. Like, lost, didn't know where he was. And I'm like, hey, man, I put you in the Uber. It's not you're an adult at this point, right? Oh my God, it was unbelievable.
This guy says one night in college was drunk, walking back from bar, had to poo, so for a $20 bet, I laid one on top of a car hood.
That's disgusting.
It's not good.
That's a Richard right there.
Well, maybe the guy that drives the car is a Richard.
It's true.
Oh, I'm assuming he just did it on somebody's random car.
Probably.
You don't take a dump on somebody's car. No.
But if the guy is, if it merits it.
But again, I'm guessing this is not a car that he knew who it was. Like, if you got a friend in college, haha, we moved somebody's car once. My friend Jamie Jones, we picked up that car. Me and Dixon picked up this car and moved it. It was like a two-door spec. We're like, we can move it.
Oh, my
Jamie
gosh,
got
that's
so
awesome.
Mad. What are you MFers doing moving my car? Well, we figured we could lift it, and we did.
I've always wanted to see, which I know it's like super dangerous, but I've also wanted to see the like air mattress trick at like the lake house where like someone's like completely inebriated, blacked out. You put them on the air mattress and put them out on the water.
No, we do that to Tammy.
But I'm
all
afraid
the time
they would
the
like wake up and like that's a drowning scare. Yeah, because I'm like, if they don't wake up and just sink, it's like, where's Dave?
He's at the bottom of the
he's
lake.
He's on the air mattress. Remember we put him on there? He's not on there anymore.
They've got this guy at the lake. I think his name is like Mr. Skin or something. Like he shows up and goes underneath like and finds anything that you lose at the lake. So if you lose a person, you just call this guy. He shows up.
This is actually a true story of mine. I reported my car stolen because I forgot where I parked it. I don't know if somebody knows me very well, but that's a true story. Parked it. That's a true story. I can get to it on the other side. It's really to a break. Hold on. I'll tell that story on this side. It is a very funny. I missed Derek Jeter's last game in Kansas City because of it. I'm Dusty Likens. It's Bob Fesco. That's Mac Morey. This is Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.